I'm Dr. Roger Steinert, Professor and Chair of Ophthalmology at the University of California, Irvine, and Director of the Gavin Herbert Eye Institute. This month's blog is going to relate to the considerable interest and enthusiasm over what's been called MIGS, or micro-incisional glaucoma surgery. And I'm talking to you from the perspective of somebody who's not a glaucoma specialist. I specialize in cornea and refractive and cataract surgery, like most of us. And therefore, first of all, apologies to the glaucoma community if I say something that's not, strictly speaking, accurate. It's just due to my ignorance and not being a specialist in the field. But nevertheless, I'm trying to wrap my own head around all of this and in the process, hopefully, say some things that might be interesting to the non-glaucoma surgeons in the audience, the people doing cataract surgery. So first of all, one of the very interesting things is that most of the interest and emphasis on some of these procedures seems to be in association with cataract surgery itself. So starting with that whole issue, most of us now have been hearing about pressure reduction just from routine, uncomplicated phacoemulsification with a posterior chamber intraoculars implant. And apparently, most of the data really is consistent with the idea that there's about a 20% pressure reduction just from cataract surgery alone. So, you know, potentially if you have a patient on just one glaucoma medication, optic nerve is pretty healthy, it may be that if you're doing cataract surgery, that alone would be enough to get them off of that med. From what I can tell, if someone is really poorly controlled, you're not likely to fix them with just cataract surgery alone, even though the Lindstrom data, for example, did indicate that the higher the pressure, the more you get a more sizable pressure reduction with cataract surgery. So that nevertheless may be more helpful in those circumstances. But I think somebody who's close to maximum medical tolerated therapy is probably not going to get enough benefit from cataract surgery alone. Which then leads to this whole idea of doing something other than a filter and blebless glaucoma surgery in a sense. And apparently the glaucoma aficionados are arguing over what exactly constitutes microincisional glaucoma surgery or the MIGS category of procedures. The first of the alternate procedures to come along that was FDA approved in the United States certainly was canaloplasty, and that has worked fairly well, but it is also technically demanding, and it's unclear whether that is in the MIGS category or whether it's a non-penetrating sclerostomy type of procedure. But as you most of you know, you cut down and expose Schlemm's canal as if you were doing a TRAB, and then cannulate the Schlemm's canal and thread a proline suture through it, tighten that suture, and get a pressure reduction. Now, my glaucoma friends tell me that they view this as a procedure that does tend to work well and perhaps even better for patients who have fairly advanced glaucoma. They get a bigger effect from that than they do from most of the other alternate procedures. The next to come along was the trabectome, which was developed by George Barbell from my department here. And it basically is the most recent attempt to cut into the trabecular meshwork and open up the drainage for aqueous to get out into Schlemm's canal, bypassing what is presumably the diseased trabecular meshwork. And you know, really, unlike most of the preceding procedures, laser attempts, even knife procedures like goniotomy a long time ago in non-children, this actually does work and has had a moderate amount of success. The next thing to come along is going to be the iStent from Glaukos. FDA approval of this is believed to be imminent. It was recommended by the panel much more than a year ago. From what I understand from the clinical data, the results are pretty good with a single stent, and they're significantly better if you put in two stents. So these are stents that basically puncture through the trabecular meshwork into the Schlemm's canal area and provide alternate drainage. So I'm hearing that people may end up doing two or three of these. It does require gonioscopic control, so there is a learning curve for the average cataract surgeon, certainly, but I think fairly learnable. And there's no reason why it couldn't be done as a procedure separate from cataract surgery, but I think that it's viewed that the majority of these will end up being procedures done during the course of cataract surgery. And both the trabectome and the iStent are viewed as good choices for people who have relatively mild to at most moderate glaucoma, and the pressure reduction is going to be statistically significant and clinically significant, but not overwhelming. Beyond that, the next group that is expected to come out involve a wide range of other products, collagen implants that open up a bigger range of the trabecular meshwork, for example, and shunts and stents that may actually give us some openings into some alternate drainage areas, most particularly the suprachoroidal space. Those are all still works in progress. Internationally, probably will be available sooner, but in the United States, with the FDA approval process, probably still a few years away based on the track record so far in terms of approval. So that is a summary of my understanding of where all of these different procedures land. It certainly sounds like we are now in an era where there are some procedures that are reasonably accessible to cataract surgeons, and where, probably as importantly as anything, the potential downside and complications are not large. And if it's properly done, you're not facing some of the challenges that have been quite demanding on the glaucoma specialists with things like the shunts and filtration devices, where you can get overfiltration and choroidal effusions and choroidal hemorrhage or extremely low hypotony issues, low pressure hypotony issues. So this whole new era is dawning of approachable, reasonably safe glaucoma procedures, and we are, I think, guardedly optimistic that we may really have some good alternatives to offer patients undergoing cataract surgery anyway, where we can help them, and particularly in an elderly age group where administration of eye drops, and particularly reliable administration of eye drops, a notorious compliance issue with glaucoma, may soon be not a thing of the past completely, but at least a much lower frequency issue. And then we'll finally learn whether a device that keeps the pressure consistently low in fact translates into better long-term health of the optic nerve head and preservation of nerve head function compared to topically administered eye drops. Of course, the final frontier there has not been reached either, and time release glaucoma medication will be coming online over the next year or two as well, and it will be interesting to be able to have those options and compare the results. This is Roger Steiner for Medscape. Please don't hesitate to send along any comments. We would welcome them. Thank you very much for listening.